Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey,
welcome back to
everybody.
The podcast.
Oh, Tom Waits is here.
Whoa,
that's right. Secondly, it's me, Tom Waits.
kind of sounds like Cookie Monster, too.
It does, yeah.
It also sounds right. Like Ray Romano.
I forgot about that.
Sandwiches. The death yarble of Ray Romano.
His
so yeah,
final
anyway,
form is Tom Waits.
Deborah,
Sarah,
Deborah, Ma.
I buy it.
Robert, no one likes you.
Singing always, of course.
Well, yeah.
My God, these waveforms.
I know.
Even
upsetting.
The computer's like, no, stop. All right. Anyway.
So anyway, guys.
Yeah.
This is episode 25. It's our silver anniversary.
Oh my God.
Holy
doing it.
Shit.
And I'm sitting here. You know, I've got two friends. One is silver, and the other one is a bullshit asshole who interrupts me every time. So,
oh, I guess I'm silver. Cool.
Don't forget Tom Waits is here.
You know what? If you don't quit it, I'm going to make you do the whole episode of Tom Waits.
Try me, bitch.
You wouldn't.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So, episode 25,
Episode 25, yeah. And remember, guys, like, subscribe, all that good jizz, you know,
good,
like all our
good,
websites
good,
and
good
stuff.
Jizz. Is that a phrase?
Sure is.
All that good jizz?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you mean the music form that the Cantina
from,
band plays.
From Star Wars.
Yeah. Oh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Natch.
That is a real thing.
Yep. It sure is. Look it up. On Wikipedia.
Yep.
I do love Wikipedia. Speaking of which, our fans have not started a Wikia for our show yet, and I am devastated.
Yeah, I'm real
pretty
bullshit.
Disappointed. We're 25 episodes in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, guys. There's going to be a point in which we have more episodes than listeners. That's not going to be good.
Oh, God, you're right.
That dawned on me just now.
Oh,
boy.
The existential dread of that failure is going to come crashing
down
on me pretty
soon. Don't worry. We have until episode 69.
That's true.
Nice.
We got a couple months to really get the game going.
Nice. Nice.
Okay.
Fuck.
Anyway.
Yeah, so, this week, Lee is going to be faking The Last Picture Show.
We went with an old movie this time.
Yeah, what details did we give you? Because I do not remember.
Nope.
Yeah, so, I just want to point out, while we were bullshitting before we got started here today, Zach tried to pin this movie on me.
Yep.
And I will point out that Seth introduced this movie into our list of possibilities.
That's true.
And Zach chose it because it's one of the few movies on there that I have no knowledge
of.
Yeah,
see, so it's not our fault. It's your fault for watching movies.
Yeah. Let the record show. Yawn.
God damn it. Okay. Anyway, The Last Picture Show. So the info you gave me was Jeff Bridges, Cybill Shepherd, mm-hmm. Cloris Leachman, Ellen Burstyn, and Randy Quaid.
Yep.
What a cast. What a cast.
Yep.
Definitely a Randy Quaid in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up getting a little more info because when you guys first gave me the title and the people, I had thought that this was a Robert Altman movie. So my plan was to just have tons of mid-length shots where the main characters are in the foreground speaking to each other,
but there's other characters in the scene that are speaking at full volume, and the audio is mixed in a way that, like, none of the... It's all... You can hear everything.
Yep.
Sounds tedious.
Yeah.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, because yeah. Altman was a... He was an auteur, guys. But it's not him.
No, it's Bogdanovich.
It's Peter Bogdanovich. Yeah. So I had to scrap all that and, I guess, replace it with things about being a New York intellectual, because that's all I know about him.
Well, that should be interesting.
Yep.
And I totally didn't even do that. So.
Oh, good. Okay.
Well, yeah, good.
I stopped at setting it in New York.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Okay.
That's fair. But yeah. Okay, so take it away. Let's hear what the Last Picture Show is about.
Gonna dive right in. So it's a basic, they need to save the theater kind of plot. Mm-hmm. So, like, every Muppet thing you've ever seen.
I was
seen,
just thinking it's a Muppet movie.
Yep. Or another movie that I know Zach also enjoyed, Sing, a recent film.
Oh, I have not seen that, but it does sound like my
jams.
Do they sing
the song Moving Right Along? Or Rainbow Connection, perhaps?
No.
Oh, then I don't care
about
it.
No, that's the Muppet
then
movie.
Fuck
yeah.
That.
What would Tom Waits sound like if he sang Moving Right Along?
Moving Right Along.
I can hear your voice giving up already. It's just hanging on.
All right.
Someday we'll find it. The rainbow connection. The lover. The dreamer. And me.
Yep, that's going to be rough.
Yep.
Yeah, this is audio poison. Tom Waits is the only person who can do Tom Waits and be
entertained. It's true. It's true. Yeah. Well, Louis Armstrong can do a good Tom Waits impression.
As we learned, yeah. Okay. Anyway, mm-hmm. So it's a you got to save the theater type of plot. Yeah. Uh-huh. So a classic movie palace in New York City is closing. It's in the 70s, so, like, we're making way for some, like, commercialization of New York kind of thing.
A strip mall.
Always.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
There's something.
Some washed-up old stars and a few talented never-was-type people are gonna put on a live show where they act out classic Hollywood-type scenes, just so the theater can go out on a high note. Like, relive the days when it was really successful.
Right.
Oh, so they've given
now
up
it's all
already.
About... Yeah, it's all about multiplexes and shit now. They don't want this big, like, you know, beautiful Art Deco movie theater.
Yeah, okay.
The kids don't, anyway.
Yeah, idiots.
So they're billing this show as the Last Picture Show.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Quaid is the crazy son of the now-dead owner.
Wait. And Randy Quaid is playing a crazy person?
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Yep.
Huh.
And He wants to keep the dream alive. So, like, he is performing that he's just putting on one last show. But really, secretly, he's working to try to make enough money to keep the theater open.
Mm.
And that really irritates his brother, Jeff Bridges.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay.
And, yep, his Jeff Bridges he's, you know, the brother of Randy Quaid, and he was never a fan of the theater and, like, these movies that they would play, and he just wants to put this part of their lives behind them.
Mm-hmm. Is he a businessman? Is he the one that owns the company that's going to bulldoze the theater?
There's the twist.
I didn't think of that, but man, that would have been good. Yeah. So
Classic
Bridges.
Yeah.
Cloris Leachman. Mm-hmm. She's not meant to be the star, but she's going to end up stealing the show, both, like, on the stage of the performances and in the actual movie.
Yeah, that doesn't sound familiar at all.
Well, I'm basing this on the fact that I know that she won an Oscar for this movie.
Yeah.
I did know that going in.
Sure, okay, sure. Yeah, well.
So she plays Jeff Bridges' wife in the movie, and she wants to perform, but she's always been in the shadow of her sister, Sybil Shepherd. Sybil wasn't really a big star in any sense, but she had a few movie roles and she has like some slight name recognition. Mm-hmm. So she's like full on fucking diva while they're doing all their rehearsals for this this kind of one last hurrah show.
You know, Cloris Leachman is 20 years older than Sybil Shepherd.
This has never stopped us in the past.
That's good. I also know that Ellen Burstyn wasn't an old woman in the 70s, but she is in my movie.
Forever.
Spoiler alert.
That goes for all these people, honestly. So
yeah, that's true.
This movie was like, watching this was like a case of like, is that Ellen Burstyn?
Oh yeah.
Oh fuck. Like it took several scenes for me to be like, oh shit, that's Jeff Bridges. I wouldn't have known.
We'll talk about that when we get into ours. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah. No, you're okay. Yeah, so time and age are very fluid in this
movie. Yeah. Sure. Everybody's a Time Lord.
In a perfect world.
Mm-hmm. They're all the children of Zahn.
oh, man, I want to start that cult.
Okay, so that's what our fans are going to be called from now on, the children of Zahn.
Yep.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, man, this is good. This is good. Wonderful. We're going to get Waco'd over Steve Zahn. This is awesome.
Yep. Gonna get Waco'd. hold on, I'm going to Amazon some new Nikes real quick. Just one second. Okay.
don't forget to buy me a set and Lee a set.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll get 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what, I guess 72 for all of us?
Yeah. Perfect. Sybil Shepherd was like her famous-ish sister. And, you know, she lets this go to her head during the rehearsal. She acts like a total diva.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, we're going to have a lot of fun and funny coming together period where all the performers kind of like, they do little snippets of their acts, and we see it like, it's the way that the movie shows it is even the dramatic stuff is being played for comedy, just because nothing is quite going right, and there's all kinds of shit going on behind the scenes. It's really about the interactions between all these different performers.
Yeah, all the musical numbers are performed by Rolf the Dog and Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
He is the house pianist, so... And really, the reason that the theater's going under is because Animal keeps destroying it every time they finish playing.
The drum kit budget is out of control.
He keeps putting dynamite in his drums. What the fuck?
Classic.
So Ellen Burstyn is the actual classic Hollywood star that's at the event.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, her first movie premiered there, and she's like really emotionally invested in keeping this place going.
Mm-hmm.
So behind the scenes, she's helping Randy Quaid try to drum up excitement for the show.
Mm-hmm.
She becomes the face of the movement, so Randy can keep denying it to Jeff that he's actually trying to save the theater. Because Jeff still wants this place to close down because he wants to do something boring with the money, like, you know, start a 401k or something. I don't know.
God, fuck Jeff. Yeah.
Jeff. Buy a lawnmower.
Yeah, exactly. For the fucking tract house in Staten Island that he's going to build with the proceeds.
That's about right.
Jeff is also annoyed that Cloris, his wife, wants to be in the show, but he figures there's no harm in it because it's like a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout the rehearsals, we see Sybil Shepherd and Cloris Leachman argue, and we see Ellen Burstyn start to mentor Cloris, and we can tell that the show is starting to take shape.
Yeah.
We also get a lot of shots of like Randy Quaid out in New York City hustling to get more butts in the seats.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always like one block ahead of Jeff Bridges, who is like, where are all these flyers coming from? And he's like following and pulling them down and stuff like that.
Sounds fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a little like my movie is very lighthearted. It's fun and funny.
That's good.
So the night of the show happens. And Sybil Shepherd is on stage, and she's, like, totally bombing.
Oh.
But Cloris is getting all the laughs. And then Sybil, like, finally has her moment of realization where she sees how talented her sister is.
Mm.
And she takes a back seat to it so, like, Cloris Leachman can finally get time to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Bridges also is watching this, and he sees his wife and how amazing and talented she is. And he finally appreciates her. And him appreciating her talent allows him to appreciate the magic of this theater. So now he's like invested too.
Yeah. Everybody comes around.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And the last performance of the night is Ellen Burstyn, and she gives this like incredible emotional performance that brings the house down. Like, mm-hmm. it's a packed house. Like, all the promotion has worked. Everybody's in tears and, like, huge standing ovation. And we do, like, a fade out and kind of get the sense, like, wow, I bet they saved the theater.
They don't.
But then, because it's a movie from the 70s, everything has to be sad. So
that checks out.
The last shot of the movie is all these main characters watching the building being torn down with, like, some somber music playing in the background. but we also get the sense that they're going to move on and use the shares of the money that they made from the show and from the building being bought out to chase their dreams. So it's, like, bittersweet, but we get, like, a nice ending for them.
Okay.
But there's a post-credits scene because there's no time limit. Yeah. Because I told you my movie isn't bound by time or reason. So.
Yeah, you meant like space. Literally. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So there's a post-credit scene and we find out that the building that they're putting up in its place is a Tower Records. So in 30 years we can make...
Ooh, Empire Records?
In 30 years we could make a sequel called Video Killed the Radio Star.
Oh, okay.
Oh, snap.
No, it's not Empire Records, Zach.
Fuck, I love that movie. Damn it.
I don't.
All right.
So anyway,
yeah, okay.
That was the last picture show. Yeah,
I really like how you situated it in the 70s by making it super depressing at the end.
I mean, yeah,
I like more, that. I think, yeah,
more on that later for sure.
Yeah.
Whew.
All right. So, I would like to hear what you guys thought about the real movie, but I want to preface this with Zach. You, like, I don't know how serious you were, but you said that you almost quit the show over this movie.
I believe my very not well thought out joke was, this is my last picture show and I'm fucking done with this. No, I mean, it was not a good movie, but
I don't know. It had some parts that were quite
good.
It did.
I also, we've been over this before. I don't like old movies. I think the pacing is brutal. Like,
yeah,
it's really, really rough.
That's true.
So, I don't know.
Do you want to do our three-word summaries before we do the IMDb summary?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'll let you go first, because I may have inadvertently stolen yours based on what we talked about.
No.
I like that we have, our new setup is that we have, like, a Matryoshka doll of summaries happening.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Matryoshka... Yeah, incidentally, is not Russian. It's actually Japanese originally, but during the World's Fair, they just kind of needed to create Russian crafts, so they, like, went out to Siberia and found a bunch of authentic Russian crafts. So, it, like, quote-unquote, and brought them back and made them Russian by stealing from a bunch of other cultures. But, you know.
Yeah, I buy that. Sounds about right.
anyway, so my three-word summary is all porno plots.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
We'll explain why that makes sense.
Yeah, let's just leave it at the summaries now, and then you can do the IMDb. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, mine was going to be sexual tension abounds. Emphasis on abounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I noticed you said tension. So we don't get to see any good fucking?
Well, very little.
No, well, you see fucking, but it is upsetting.
Oh, yeah. There's like, some bummer part. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
there's a lot of not fucking for sure.
Everyone
like,
is
fucking.
Bad at it.
Yes, that is very true.
So
it's a realistic movie then?
Kinda.
I mean, this movie takes place in 1951, right? And there are a lot of sex scenes, but apparently foreplay wasn't invented until like 1957 or something.
Tell me about it, ladies. Am I right?
No, you're not wrong about that. It's a lot of hard and fast, strange, awful. Yeah,
everybody's sex face is upsetting.
It's somewhere between confusion and anger, usually. Yeah.
Okay, so the IMDb summary is, in 1951, a group of high schoolers come of age in a bleak, isolated, atrophied West Texas town that is slowly dying, both culturally and economically.
Wow, there were a lot of descriptors
in
that.
Sure were.
So you know you're in for a cheerful one at that point. Yeah.
All right, so I did. It sounds like I got the must be depressing at the end, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you did the diet version. This one did the like triple X Bud Ice version. it really leaned into it. Yeah.
Yeah. God, how do we even do this? It's a bunch of like not really connected pieces. Of like,
oh, it's a bunch of vignettes, or?
Sort of. But like, there's a rule: if there are two people of the opposite sex alone together, they are going to bone down.
Yeah. And if there's a lot of people of the opposite sex, they're going to be at a swimming pool and they'll all be naked.
Yeah, it's going to be a naked swimming party. Okay, let's try to figure out a quick and dirty way of talking about this. Jeff Bridges and what is the lead actor's name? I don't even know because he doesn't matter.
Yeah, I got nothing. No, he is.
Oh, so it's not someone you gave me.
Timothy Bottoms.
Yeah, he's famous.
Oh, Timothy Bottoms. He played President Bush in That's My Bush.
Oh, okay. Well,
right.
Yeah. You know that famous the famous Comedy Central. Yeah. So, Jeff Bridges.
Originally, he was cast to play Al Gore, and then the election went the other way.
Oh, shit.
Whoopsie dizzle.
That's fun.
So Jeff Bridges, who looks like a baby, for sure.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is 1971, but he is, like, the most baby-faced baby that ever babied in a baby town.
Oh, so you meant he, like, looked young, not that he was dressed as an adult baby with a cowboy hat.
Oh, shit, that would have been fun. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure at some point in all of the porno plots of this, that sort of thing happened.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, if you've seen the Tron sequel, we have the technology to make a young Jeff Bridges.
Oh, that's true.
We can make a movie with Jeff Bridges dressed like an adult baby in a cowboy.
Well, now we can, yeah. No, I was not kidding. I watched about a half hour of this movie going, when's the dude going to show up? And realized I'd been looking at him the whole time.
Oh, yeah. For me, same thing with Randy Quaid. Like, it was after three or four Randy Quaid scenes, I was like, holy shit, that's Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He used to look like a human.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he still has that. He like that dumb Randy Quaid face is in there for sure, but it's like a different dumb Randy Quaid face. Yeah. Yeah. He might have been like 18
weird?
In this. He was so young. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was like famous before Dennis.
Yeah.
Huh.
And now he's
like,
an insane
way
person.
Before Dennis.
I've seen him have sex with his wife on the internet wearing masks. It was cool, I guess.
What?
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Yeah, keep up this porno theme, I guess.
Just me? All right.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I think it was just you.
Yep. All right.
Totally just you.
So, our two leads are Jeff Bridges and this...
T-Bots.
And they're like buddies, and they're on the football team together, and they shoot pool at the snooker hall or whatever.
Yep.
Until a music man came to town and warned them against the dangers of pool halls.
Sadly, no.
76 trombones.
That's the big parade.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Yep. Let's reference more musicals. Okay. We were talking about Annie Get Your Gun for a long time before we started recording.
So, not to interrupt, but I think the summary of the movie could stop right there.
Yeah.
Like, those two dudes are buds and there's a pool hall. That's it.
And they're high school graduates. They're like just graduating high school.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like one of those, we're done with high school, we're supposed to like...
figure something out.
Things are supposed to be so good for us, but like, oh man, there's nothing here.
Kind of, pretty much, and
like Jeff Bridges' girlfriend is Cybill Shepherd in her first feature role, by the way.
Yeah, she was like 19, I think.
And they break up because she wants to have sex with this rich kid, but the rich kid won't have sex with her because she's a virgin. So first they break up, and then Jeff Bridges and Cybill Shepherd have sex after multiple attempts, even though, you know, he is not good at it. Oh man, it's so many porno scenes.
Yeah. Basically, so yeah, they set the stage where these two are friends and like the whole town sucks. And then it's everybody trying to fuck everybody else for like ever. And then basically, so one of the main plot lines is Timothy Bottoms like goes over to Cloris Leachman's house and she's 20 years older than him. And she's kind of a shut in and a little weird. And then they get this sort of burgeoning sexual relationship going. Mm-hmm. But it's all sort of meaningless. Like, it's just everybody's trying to fuck each other and like nothing ever happens, and then like the boys have a big fight.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges smashes a bottle into the eye of T-Bots. That's pretty Jesus. Great.
Yeah, something happened finally. That was nice.
Then Jeff Bridges goes off and joins the army and goes to Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So, would you say that this movie is meandering?
Yeah, extremely.
Yeah. Like it was weird though, because while there wasn't a lot of conflict or action, I was reasonably engrossed after I got invested. Like, it took an hour, but after that I was like, okay, I want to see what happens to these schlubs.
Yeah, so there's like, I would say this is the equivalent of like mumblecore nowadays, like where there nothing ever happens, but they get the characters going enough that you're like, oh, I'm somehow invested in this.
Yeah,
because it like the interplay and the character development and whatnot was like okay, it was fine.
Most of my notes are just random things that I saw. Like in Cloris Leachman's house, there's just like a pistol on the wall made of flowers, which
yeah,
I
missed that.
I thought was pretty interesting.
Some classic Texas art.
Yep.
It's gotta be a gun.
Made the note, everyone knows that French fries are the most seductive form of potatoes. I don't know why I wrote that, but
I mean, I'm thinking about it and there's no way that you're not right. It's the only hard and rigid version of potatoes that isn't an entire whole potato.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, sure.
Oh, I got distracted for a while thinking about mesquite trees, so that was fun.
That sounds about right.
About as good as the movie, honestly.
So, let's go off on a tirade about mesquite trees.
Yay!
So this takes place...
Mini up time!
This takes place in North Texas, right? Wichita Falls-ish.
Yeah.
So the thing is that you used to have prairie fires, like maybe not annually, but like every couple of years, that would burn off all the underbrush and get rid of these mesquite trees that grow up like weeds. Well, after we stopped burning prairies, we just ended up with like all of these mesquite trees growing up, sucking all of the nitrogen out of everything and killing the prairies. So there's just mesquite like groves all over the place because we artificially stopped prairie fires. And back when I were a scientist, I used to do some research on that. It's fun.
Not bad.
Fun little story.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Kind of sucks. It's kind of a shitty tree.
Yeah, so, I mean, they use mesquite for, like, smoking meats and barbecues and stuff. I always thought it was kind of, like, nice, good wood. I didn't know it was, like, a shitty weed. That's funny.
I mean, only in certain parts of the country is it a shitty weed. Maybe some people don't consider it that, but I do, because it changes the soil chemistry. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Any hooser. So the fuck pool is worth talking about, probably.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. So Cybill Shepherd is sort of wayward and like definitely wants to lose her virginity, but doesn't. She's like real up and down about the whole thing. And then she like leaves a dance to go with Randy Quaid, who is, of course, Randy Quaid's the one with the inn at the fuck pool, of course.
Oh, he's got the connects.
So he, I don't know if he really explains it to her or not, but like she kind of knows what she's getting into. And then they go and there's just like tons of naked people.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, to be here, you have to stand on the diving board and take all your clothes off. And she just goes, yeah, okay.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It tracks.
There's also like a 13-year-old boy also naked in this pool. I'm pretty sure his dong is in this movie. Like, there's like a flash of it. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. The fuck pool is a weird scene.
Yeah, and it doesn't pay off to anything. It's just like, then they leave and it's like, okay, no more fuckpool. It's so weird.
It never comes up again.
No. Yeah. Bizarre. That's a lot of this movie, though. It's just like, random scene of two people like fumbling around not having sex, and then it doesn't mean anything.
Or
anyway.
Fumbling around having obviously the worst sex of their lives.
Yeah, sure. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
It's really something. There's a quote that I have. I think that T-Bot says it to Jeff Bridges, but it's, "You ain't so good a cocksman."
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good line.
No, it's Bridges. Bridges says it to T-Bots. It's after the bottle smash, and he's like, they're trying to like act cool in front of each other, and he's like, "You ain't no good of a cocksman." Yeah, that was really nice, actually.
Pretty good. Yeah, talking about how bad at sex they are. So
you want to get into the ending, Seth?
A phrase that one of my friends that I grew up with had, it was specifically directed at one of our friends, but it was more generally about anyone who was successful with the ladies. He said that people used to have that cock lure.
No.
Is that like a dick aura or what?
Yeah, I think it's a dick aura.
Similar,
It's a similar concept.
A dick aura, which is what Abe Lincoln had.
Yeah.
We determined.
Oh, yeah, we did determine this the other day. Yeah.
Sure enough.
Nice orangey glow.
Yep. So Zach, what would you say the major conflict of this movie is?
Christ. Well, I mean,
that they had to pay for film to put it on.
I have two like ideas, and they're not jokes, unfortunately. But
I mean, I'd say there's two. There's definitely like a bunch of people being bored with their lives and like trying desperately to find anything that's worth living for.
Yeah,
and then
man, that sounds familiar.
Oof.
And then
I did grow up in a decaying town.
Oh, that's true. Like, that's true.
Oh, more clues to where Lee grew up.
And then I mean, there's the obvious one between T-Bots and Jeff Bridges, and there's like a competition between everyone because no one is actually doing anything meaningful, so they're all competing on like these meaningless levels that I don't know. I'd say those are probably my two. I don't know. What do you think?
My two is like it's intergenerational like conflict. The old generation wants people to do X, and the young people are like, "That's shitty. We want to leave this crappy dying town, but we can't because we don't have any wherewithal."
It's
fucking millennials.
I know. Why do they hate Applebee's so much?
Wait, that actually kind of makes sense because they make movies and TV shows now about like kids are idiots. Like, was this that for the 70s? I don't know. Yeah. But it was set in the 50s.
This was the CBS lineup of the 70s.
Yeah, like, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you have all of these like rebellious movements showing up in the 50s, like rock and roll being invented, for example.
Yeah.
Tight jeans.
Tight jeans. Yeah. Pomodors. The other conflict that I see is happiness versus marriage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Boy.
You can either be happy or you can be married, but ne'er shall the twain meet.
That is split among the generational lines quite a bit, too. Everyone who's married is old and they all suck. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So I knew going into this that Cloris Leachman won an Oscar for this movie.
Yeah.
Do you think, based on what you saw, that like, are you surprised? Does it make sense to you?
What Oscar did she win? Like Best Supporting Actress?
Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, okay. I could see that.
Best Awkward Sex Scene. Weirdly.
Yeah.
One year they gave it away.
So the very final scene of the movie is this like actually kind of like palpably awkward, thick moment between T-Bots and Cloris Leachman because they were having an affair, right? But everybody is depressed and sad, and T-Bots abandoned her for Civil Shepherd for a while and then came back to her, and she was like,
"Everybody in this town is all up on Civil Shepherd."
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah. But like it was really
report on that, Murphy Brown.
90s sitcoms.
That was so bad. Don't laugh at that.
Well, only because we all grew up with that.
Yeah, that's true.
I remember watching.
That was a really good show,
Murphy,
man.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. It was one of the movies or movies, one of those TV shows that I would watch when I was sick.
Yeah.
Because it was played in reruns on daytime television.
Yep.
Yeah, but this final scene, like, is really gripping. And, like, you just kind of feel numb to it all. Or at least I did. And I think that was worthy of an Oscar, if anything is, in this movie, for sure.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know if this movie was considered particularly good on its own, but Cloris Leachman is very good in it,
yeah.
I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean... So the
I mean, I've heard this movie referenced as like a classic over and over and over again. And it did get nominated for a ton of Oscars.
Yeah, it won two. I don't know what the other one is, but
yeah. I mean, I can imagine. Again, it's hard to put yourself in the 70s and like, oh, about the 50s or whatever. But like, I guess at the time, maybe that was very cool. I don't know.
Well, 50s nostalgia was huge in the 80s.
Yeah.
So maybe like Rage Against the 50s was big in the 70s. And
sure.
I know that like the director as an auteur was huge in the 70s. So like any movie that was perceived as having some like deep meaning was definitely.
Yeah.
It seems like to me like 20 years prior to wherever you are is what you feel nostalgic for.
Yeah,
and so 70s feels nostalgic for the 50s because those people are adults now. The people that were growing up in the 50s were adults and are making movies, just like.
And then their kids get to like see that stuff through their parents' eyes, so it's like, look at this cool thing. Yeah, yeah.
Or more like, oh, why do you hate retail stores and and chain restaurants?
How green was my valley? How hot were my Applebee's fajitas?
Sizzling, always sizzling.
So that is, I think I have to explain that a few years ago, like before Applebee's and TGI Fridays and all that shit started to go under, some guy tried to sue, I think it was an Applebee's, because he was saying grace at his family dinner there.
Whoa, okay.
And he put his face too close to the fajitas and he gave himself like second degree burns.
Holy shit.
I mean, if McDonald's defense was like, we printed on the cup that it's hot, then like the audible sizzling sound from fajitas should serve as a sort of reasonable defense as well.
The server telling you, this is a cast iron, it's incredibly hot. Also, the food is incredibly hot.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have to add, don't put your face on it.
I mean, or that goes for any food. If you're going to eat food, don't put your face on it. That's just weird.
Well, I don't know. You know, have you never made a mask out of a tortilla?
Oh, yeah, nope. Okay, fair point.
Yeah, a horrifying gimp mask.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Mm-hmm. I do like facial masks sometimes, and I know some of that stuff is like at least partially edible. So.
yeah,
same thing. Yeah,
no, that's my new band name, by the way, Tortilla Gimp.
That could be like a thrash band. Yeah,
yeah.
I do like that. Yeah. You can tour with our previous guests, Machine Arms.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they could open for them, I would imagine. So it's worth saying as well. So that was a really bummer ending, but like on a deep level. The two other quasi endings were Jeff Bridges and T-Bot's like kind of making up, but like it's really hollow and sad. And Jeff
awkward.
Bridges is and he's shipping off to Korea, and it's like sad and weird.
And you know
and
that he's going to
like
die
out of obligation.
Yeah.
Absolutely know that he's going to die over there.
Right. And then the other one is they inexplicably make the slow kid in the town get hit by a car and die.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Oh, boy.
He was like a tangential character, didn't matter at all, and there's a whole scene where he just gets hit by a car and dies, and then that's it.
Yep, and T-Bot's like has to drag his body off of the street. And,
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
It's a whole thing.
It's brutal.
It's like this whole movie is quite... brutal.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
So
right. Was this movie late 70s or early 70s?
Early. This is 71.
Early.
71, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're not even talking about, like, late Carter era malaise or anything.
There's no gas crisis yet.
Yeah. I guess we're talking about, like, Nixon is sending all of our kids to Vietnam because he's drunk and mad, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't, I don't know.
I mean, this is like a, you know, a Vietnam-y movie. Everybody is depressed.
Yeah. Like, that...
Just like how MASH was about the Korean War, but it's actually about Vietnam.
Yeah, exactly.
Spoilers for MASH.
Shit!
Now, spoilers for After MASH, the sequel to the TV show. No one watched it, so that's the spoiler for that one.
It got canceled. So I kept wondering that myself this whole time, because, and I think this is generally why I like older movies less, because I'm like, I don't think this is for me. Like, there's cultural context here that might make this better that I could never possibly have because I'm not 60. Sure. Like, it just, So I think that's why I just, it seemed like a crushing bummer with little point, but maybe it was a crushing bummer with, like, a big point if you were of that day. I don't know.
Well, someday when our children, well, not me, because, God, they're disgusting. Someday when our children are sitting in their meditation cubes, like, hovering above the ether, like, they won't understand our movies either. They're like, explosions, but we have transcended physical forms. What is going on?
I was going mumblecore again. Like, if you showed somebody in 20 years a Mark Duplass movie, I bet they'd be like, what the fuck is this nonsense?
If you showed me a Mark Duplass movie right now,
I'm kind of a fan. I don't know, whatever.
I try. It's not for me.
That's so fair.
One step back. Lee, you think that, like, in 20 years we'll have transcended physical form?
Yeah, I saw, like, that Johnny Depp movie, Transcend.
We're all floating heads.
On the horizon already?
I saw that Johnny Depp movie, Transcendence, and by saw it, I mean there was a trailer that I didn't watch.
Yeah, I am aware that that movie existed, but...
Wally Pfister, the really good cinematographer, although not as good as Roger Deakins, he directed that movie.
Huh. Okay.
Interesting.
I mean, are we talking cinematographer power rankings? Roger Deakins, Emmanuel Lubinsky, Wally Pfister.
It's just the three? Okay.
Those are the only three I'm going to mention, because they're the only three I can name off the top of my head.
That's three more than I had,
Yeah, me too.
Okay. I don't know. That's kind of all I had for this. Just lots of boring fucking and then sadness.
Lots of upsetting sex scenes where just like nobody looks like they're having a good time.
Pretty much.
So the IMDb rating is 8.1.
What? Shit. No.
Yeah.
Inexplicable.
This is like pretty far up in the AFI top 100.
Yeah,
like,
it's gotta be.
It's up there.
Wow.
As one of the best movies of all time, and that is kind of baffling. But I guess it's judged by people that are 30 years older than us, 40 years older than us.
Yeah, Chinatown was the same thing. That was like top 100, I think.
Yeah.
And we all fucking hated that movie. So. Yeah,
I will point out, friend of the show, everyone's favorite guest, Eva, has called us all fucking idiots more than once for what we said about Chinatown.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Wait. So we're just not the audience. All right.
Oh, okay.
Apparently it's a very good movie and we're idiots.
Respectfully disagree.
Yeah, I mean, rewatch it and try not to be super offended by the racism and sexism and the, you know, the incest plot one.
Oh. Right? Yeah, forget about
You'll
that.
You'll have that, I guess.
Naturally.
Oof.
Yas, queen. Yeah. Oof.
Yeah, so Seth, you want to rate?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so this movie, we talked about it for the last 20 minutes, but it is not necessarily for us, but I can see how it could be considered like pretty seminal. There were some very, very moving, very, very depressing scenes, like almost as depressing as Tom Waits singing Martha.
Tears of wine and roses, poetry and proses.
Fuck, I love that song.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not gonna rate it super low, because if you can sit through it and not slam your head against the coffee table, it's okay. It's pretty good, actually, in terms of, like, if you want to get really depressed and not be entertained super well by a movie. So I'm gonna.
So if you want a shitty movie and to be sad, it's not bad. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Those are my two favorite pastimes. I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Ooh, all right. Hi.
Because, like, right, it does... like, maybe if you cut out everything that isn't the Cloris Leachman scenes, because she is quite good.
So if you made this 20 minutes long, yes, yeah. I agree, it would be better. Yeah.
As for Lee's, man, I love that trope of trying to save a theater, and you right on cue made it super depressing near the end, like all 70s movies. I mean, you really like honed in on the real feel of this movie. Uh-huh. So, due to its closeness to Muppet films, I'm gonna give it a 7.4.
Ooh!
Yay! Ooh, cool.
So, I had one more thing that I forgot to say that I wrote in my notes, and that was, as an audience member, I felt complicit in this movie. Like, it was it was upsetting. Like you feel gross after all the sex scenes.
Mm. Yeah. Though some of them are just fumbling and weird, and then the rest of them are all rapey.
It's
really unfortunate. Yeah.
You feel gross in it. And, like, I guess that is a thing in movies that to make the audience uncomfortable occasionally, but I don't know if that was intentional or not.
Sexual stuff was different back then, I guess.
People were really bad at sex.
Yeah, mostly that.
Yeah. Zach, what are you gonna rate this movie as?
Yeah,
I like that we're talking about it like we're some amazing Lothario.
Yeah, like.
Or also that we didn't live through like American Pie, like the sexual liberation bastion.
I'm just a love machine.
Christ.
That's
in that song.
Yeah. So on Real One, I'll go like a 5, I guess. I think the acting was very good. Even the young people were like very convincing and good, and it had bits to it, but I think they're fine.
Yeah.
It was a little rambly and stupid, but most movies from that time, I think the same thing of, so who knows? I'm probably just bad at movies.
Okay.
Lee's...
I mean, we've established that.
We have, very much. Lee's super into it. Yeah, the save a theater thing and the, like, people get turned around thing. I mean, I would have liked, like, a Pitch Perfect Mighty Ducks ending where everything works out and it's saved and Jeff Bridges is happy about it and they all get along as a family. But, like... I know that's not for everyone, nor is it a 70s thing, I guess.
Yeah,
so, I
like how we wanted exactly the opposite endings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also want to point out that Zach literally just referenced his two favorite movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Man, I wish there were more w**s in it.
Oh, there's the bleep machine. Lee's definitely like a probably like a 7. That seems like a fun watch for sure.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well,
so
looks like you cleaned up this time, Lee. Well done.
All right. Crushed it. So damn. I guess I guess not trying to figure out what the movie would actually be about and just making up something fun is the way to go.
That almost always works. Seth's biggest wins are when he swings for the fences, I think. So yeah.
Yeah. Seth is like Joaquin Phoenix in Signs. He either hits a home run or strikes.
Yeah.
There's no in between.
Sounds good. All right. So I think next week, we're not entirely sure. There's some scheduling issues and whatnot, so it's
travel issues.
That's a TBD on next week, but it should be good either way. So yeah, I guess
we'll try to drop in an announcement if we have it figured out before this is done editing. Yeah. So
we'll put it on our ample social media that you guys should all get on. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta say, our Instagram, you guys are killing it. You're really supporting us there. Does no one use Twitter anymore? Because we have, like, no followers. Yes.
I don't. I personally don't.
I've never used Twitter. I don't understand it. It makes me upset. I'm like an old person.
And then very gave up on it.
Yeah.
It
was
amazing. There's more characters now, so I get to ramble more about the things I ramble about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Roadhouse mostly.
It doubled, didn't it? Or something. I don't know.
Something like that. All I know is I can talk a lot about Roadhouse now. Twice as much as I used to.
Literally twice as much.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Fancy that. Okay.
Good deal.
Well,
I think that'll do it.
Yeah, until next time. Moving right along.